Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Broken interception.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by the one and only Lance Meadow, I am John Schmelk. Your call is at 201-939-4513. We'll take him in the second half of the show today because we do have a guest coming your way at 12:10. Kyle Krabs from NDT Scouting just released his scouting Bible, I guess we can call it. Their scouting guide.
Oh, it's a Bible, all right.
That's the size, folks. 339 pages of scouting reports on players and things like that. So we'll get his insight as we add him to our litany of draft experts that you'll hear between now and draft night at the end of April. And I guess the draft, Lance, is where we'll start. The mock drafts continue to come out, and we're seeing some consolidation of who people think are going to be off the board in the top, I'd say, 7 or 8 picks in this year's draft. And at 10... to me, you're kind of seeing certain positions becoming of value for the Giants. And I'd love to get your opinion. I think you can still get a good defensive lineman at 10, depending on who you like. I think you can still get a good offensive tackle at number 10, depending on who you like. And I think there's a chance you can get a good corner at 10, depending on who you like.
I'd also throw in wide receiver there. I'm not saying there's a great deal of depth at wide receiver, but if somebody's there who you think could be a legitimate number two and can make an immediate contribution, I would throw wide receiver in at the tail end of that list. But, I mean, those three other positions that you mentioned I think should be priorities. Defensive line, I don't think the conversation has changed regardless of how aggressive the Giants were in free agency. You can never have enough pass rushers because in this league it's become a rotational game, where you need 5 or 6 quality defensive linemen if you want to be able to survive a 16-game schedule. So as it stands right now, I think there's room for them to add an impactful defensive lineman. Corner, you know, let's see what they do perhaps in free agency with respect to the slot position. You have your two outside corners, but I think there's room for that third versatile corner, somebody that could go inside, somebody that could also play outside depending on their rotational schemes and so forth. And with respect to the offensive line, there's room for somebody on the right side of the offensive line to come in and realistically compete for a starting job. So that's why all three of those positions are fine, but I would keep wide receiver in close proximity. I wouldn't say it's a priority, but I think if somebody's dangling out there that's still on the board, I think it may be a worthy investment.
Now, generally speaking, Lance, you want to pick the best player available. You figure out a way to use him the way the NFL works. You usually can. But if you're talking about need now for a second, putting value aside, I'm going to give you a few different positions. Value for me, how you think you would in terms of need for the Giants, fit, how much they'll contribute early in their career, okay? Right tackle, running back, corner, offensive lineman, wide receiver.
So offensive lineman separate from right tackle we're talking about?
No, you can put them together.
You want to group them together?
I listed them twice. That's my fault.
I would say...
And replace right tackle then with linebacker.
With linebacker. I would say corner and right tackle have an opportunity to come in and make an immediate contribution.
Agreed.
And realistically compete for a starting job. That's the other thing.
If you're counting the nickel corner as a starting job.
Correct.
I am considering that
as a starting job.
I think in this day and age,
I think you could say you need to go into the season with 3 legitimate starting corners based on how opposing teams line up. So I don't think that's a stretch at all. Linebacker, I don't know if even drafting a linebacker would come in day one and make that immediate splash. I think there's room for depth on this team, but I think as it stands right now, you have enough of a rotation where you have starting 3, a threesome that you can throw out there at least in week 1 as it stands right now. So I wouldn't necessarily throw a linebacker into that mix. Your other position was what? Defensive line, did you
running
throw in
back,
there?
Running back,
I would say no. In terms of value, need, and immediate contribution. I would not put that on the target list. I would say offensive line and corner much higher up in terms of running back and linebacker.
How about D-line?
D-line, I would say that there is an opportunity for somebody to come in and be a third down specialist in pass rushing situations and, you know, maybe be that swing type of defensive lineman. So I would put that third. So the way I would rank it is I'd put corner 1, I'd put right tackle 2, I'd put defensive lineman 3, then I would go running back, slash linebacker.
I was going back and forth. Who was it? Mark Heiss. Mark Heiss 617 on Twitter this morning. And we had an interesting conversation because we were talking about Ezekiel Elliott yesterday a little bit. And the argument I made against Elliott, and you know how highly I think of him as a player and what a good pro he's going to be. When you have Shane Vereen, who's going to play 35% of your snaps on third down at running back, and I'm assuming you're not just going to throw away Rashad Jennings, Darkwon, Andre Williams. You know, you're looking at Elliott playing at most 60 to 65% of your snaps as a rookie. At most, probably more realistic is 50%, depending on how you, manage your snaps. Now, you could put Vereen in the slot and use Elliott as the primary third down running back. If you want to mess around with that, you can. I'm taking that off the table for now. And Mark Heiss said, you know what? If that's what you want to do, I get why you don't want to pick him. But then, why would you advocate picking a defensive lineman? Because if JPP's playing well and Olivier Vernon's playing well, obviously your defensive end's going to be part of that rotation. And as we've spoken about a lot, they like to rotate guys in and out to get fresh pass rushers from quarters one through quarter four. But what percentage of the snaps then would, say, your 10th overall pick be? Let's say you pick Shaq Lawson as your defensive end. I mean, what is he playing, 50% of your snaps on defense, give or take? So I thought it was an interesting point. You know, how much do you want that first-round pick on the field? You know, last year, Eric Flowers was on the field for damn near 100% of your snaps. So was Landon Collins.
Well, but remember, the conversation with Flowers changes because Will Beatty goes down. If Will Beatty's healthy, I'm not saying Flowers doesn't play at all this season.
He could start the right tackle.
True, but I don't know. I just don't know if you can necessarily take that for granted.
I think that was the plan, though.
It was the plan, but I think that the opportunity was all of a sudden thrown right out at the gates.
I agree.
Before the season even started as a result of that unforeseen injury.
But Beckham, if not for the injury, would have been on the field all the time. You go back 3 years ago, Pugh on the field all the time. You go back, Knicks on the field all the time.
Well, and that unfortunately has been a trend with a few positions here on this
team. Right. But the point is that how comfortable are you with the first pick in the draft at number 10 in the first round, you know, being a guy that only plays 50 to 60% of your snaps?
Well, I'm very comfortable because I'm also taking into the equation that JPP only signed a one-year deal. So I want to protect myself for years to come.
Great point.
See, I don't look at the draft, John, and there's a variety of different viewpoints. I don't look at this year's draft as it's only for the 2016 season.
And I think that's a trap that some people fall into, yeah. And I think it's a dangerous one.
I have to look at least, I'm not saying I'm looking 5 or 6 years down the road, but I'm certainly thinking about the next 2 or 3 years. I'm looking at who I have under contract, who I have for the long term, who just came back on a short-term deal, who's a question mark in terms of whether or not I want to invest beyond this year. And the defensive line, I still think, is not necessarily solidified for the next 3 or 4 years. So if I bring in a defensive lineman, now I have a nucleus of double O. I've got Vernon. I've got Snacks. I've got Hankins. I'm protecting myself also in the event that there's another injury.
That's a good point.
That's why I like to take that mindset more so than the running back. You just brought in Vereen. Andre Williams is still on a rookie contract. Darkwa is also a young guy. It's not as if you don't have any young up-and-coming prospects in the backfield as it stands right now.
Lance, I think you make a good point, and that's a very good argument. 201-939-4513, where we will get to your calls in just a second. Before we get to our guests, fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Fantasy baseball getting started. Golf Masters, that's coming up as well. A lot of stuff going on. So go to DraftKings.com. But our guest for today, you guys know all the draft experts we like to bring on over the course of the year. We're adding a new one to our Rolodex this year, and that's our good buddy Kyle Krabs from NDT Scouting, ndtscouting.com. Kyle just released his draft guide. I held it up before, Kyle. It's 339 pages, if I'm not mistaken, of college football draft goodness. It's as thick as it gets. I had to use the 3-inch binder with the ring to fit this thing in and sort it out yesterday. Thanks for joining us, Kyle. How's everything going?
Oh, things are going great. Thank you guys for having me. This is definitely going to be a lot of fun. I always enjoy taking off my own personal point of view and trying to look at players from a team perspective, too. So these are always fun exercises for me.
Absolutely. Kyle, before we get started, why don't you tell people where they can find your draft guide and how they can get it?
Certainly. If you visit ndtscouting.com, there's tabs for the 2015, which is last year's, and 2016 draft prospectus. I've done 928 players in the last 3 years. The last two editions, 2016 and last year's 2015, are available. It's a simple PayPal exchange off a button that's on the website. This year's edition is $10. It's a PDF file. Once that transaction takes place, pretty much I'm going to be sending out the first edition shipments at midnight tonight. So anybody who's pre-orders, there's a couple hundred pre-orders this year, which I'm really excited about. They're all getting at midnight, so you guys can dig in late tonight or early tomorrow morning, depending on if you're rolling out of bed or what.
Yeah, and frankly, I'm not sure if fans even get it tomorrow. They're going to have enough time to get through all 339 pages by the time the draft gets here, Kyle. So let's get started here. And I guess the best way to start when you try to project who the Giants might take at number 10 is who do you think will not be available when the Giants get to number 10? Who would you be absolutely shocked by being still on the board when the Giants go at number 10?
I think there's a handful of guys here, like Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Laremington Steele, Joey Bosa. One of the quarterbacks will be gone, not that it's necessarily pertinent to you guys. I think that's the nucleus of this class. And then just kind of looking over the overall board, I only gave 8 first-round values out. Now, there's going to be 32 first-round or 31 first-round picks either way, but the value at the top of this year's class is kind of thin, and the Giants are sitting right on the edge where if one of those other guys happens to fall down to 10, you know, they can get really excited about making that selection.
Well, Kyle, with that being said, since it is a little bit thin and maybe the Giants are on the borderline of that beginning of the second tier versus the end of the first tier, you know, who would be right now? And you don't necessarily have to take into consideration a huge need for the team, but you know, who is good value at number 10 when the Giants are ready to draft?
Well, I know one of the teams that gets thrown around with you guys a lot is Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame, the offensive tackle. He's right there on the very beginning cusp of the second tier for me. He's the 11th overall player on my board. But if you're looking at an offensive tackle, somebody that doesn't really get a lot of publicity, and it depends on what you guys are looking to do with Eric Flowers. If you're looking to move him to right tackle, so maybe somebody like Jason Spriggs as a pass protector, he's not generally talked about in the top 10, and in all likelihood he's not going to go there, but he's a guy that I really love. I compare him to Lane Johnson coming out, who ended up going to the Philadelphia Eagles, who went third overall, but he's got better polish because he's been an offensive lineman his entire career.
What do you think about DeForest Buckner? These 3-4 defensive ends usually aren't valued that high. They're not usually a premium pass rushing position, Kyle. They can move to the 4-3-3 technique sometimes in that defensive formation. How high do you think he's going to go? And is that position that he plays going to hold him back a little bit? And could that push him down the board to the Giants at 10?
I could realistically see him being there on the board. It just depends on, you know, if the narrative of the outside media realm about Joey Bosa being an average athlete, and statistically you can't argue that, but Bosa is such a fine technician. I think he's certainly going to be in discussion and should be gone sometime within, you know, the top 8 picks. But I think one of those shoes has to fall. Either Bosa's going to go or Buckner's going to go. And you bring up a really interesting dynamic about, you know, positional value and somebody who's an interior rusher, not somebody that's standing up in a 2-point stance and rushing from a wide angle as a pass rusher, not your premier pass rusher. But Buckner, he's a really special blend of size, athleticism, and power that I think you move him around the defensive front as needed. He can play the base end in a 4-3 if you needed him to as the strong side and really help set the edge. And then, as you kind of mentioned and alluded to, kick him inside on passing down and distances so he can utilize that quickness and that length and that power against interior players and really have an ability to be a penetration player, which he's not going to have as much success doing on the boundary.
Well, and based on your description, that would seem to be a good fit for Steve Spagnuolo, the Giants' defensive coordinator, because he certainly likes to move his defensive linemen around, specifically ones who are capable of playing on the outside and the inside. Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, another name that has been thrown around a lot, Kyle, in these mock drafts for the Giants at number 10 is Vernon Hargraves, the corner out of Florida. And, you know, he also seems to be a versatile player who you can move around depending on your scheme. You know, what's your outlook outlook of Hargraves, and realistically, is he in the conversation around number 10?
Well, I certainly think he's in the conversation. I think the top corner this year, depending on what you elect to classify Jalen Ramsey, if you put Jalen Ramsey as a safety, the discussion for top corner is really interesting, and it really is just going to come down to who runs what kind of system and who feels best about where they're going to play that player. Hargraves actually had a really nice all-season circuit from the fact that there was a narrative about him at Florida that he was under 5'10" and he was short. And you saw what happened to Jason Verrett, who went to San Diego in the 20s a couple years ago because he was short, but his film was outstanding. And Hargraves didn't have a great year this year, but he was plagued with some bad help on the back end as a safety, at the safety position. And he's not quite the same mover that Jason.
Oh, looks like we might have lost him. That's right. The phone, bring that pot down, please.
Yep.
Bring that pot down, please. Thank you. We can get Kyle back on. Looks like we had a cell phone issue there. And it's funny. I want to follow up when you get him back on. And he talked about, you know, debating on what you really need depending on the corner that you want. We'll get Kyle back up in a second. His top corner on the board is William Jackson, the corner out of Houston. And I've heard a lot of other people say how much they love Jackson, but no one seems to have had the guts to move him ahead of some of the bigger school kids. And I'm curious to see why he thinks Jackson is ultimately maybe a little bit better than Hargreaves. He only has a tenth of a point in his grading system separating, so they're very close. But I'm curious to see what he says about Jackson, who I think ran the top 40 time from corners at the combine, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and even some of the things he talked about with respect to the offensive line position, he's also high on some offensive linemen that are not necessarily getting into the conversation at number 10. So that's why it's interesting with all these varying opinions and so forth.
Kyle, welcome back. Thanks for jumping back on with us. I had a little cell phone issue there. You were talking about Hargreaves, and while you finish on Hargreaves, you were talking about how he'd lack of safety help down there. Why do you think in your grading system Jackson is an overall better graded corner for you? And differentiate the two for me a little bit.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me back. Hargraves, just the safety play that they have in there was very effective in the box, but from a deep perspective, you know, he gave up some vertical passes. I really like William Jackson for the fact that he is super lengthy, and I know that's something a lot of teams really like right now is that length, that ability to disrupt at the line of scrimmage and play from the quote-unquote trail position when you're in the hip pocket and have the ability to impact throws with a large wingspan and a large frame. So Jackson, you know, has that going for him versus Hargraves, who's scrappy, but he's not necessarily physical or lengthy. So that's the difference between the two. Hargraves is just a little bit more effective in short areas where Jackson is more of that long strider, maybe a bit more of a cover three defender who's working a third of the field and breaking on throws out in front of his face, where Hargraves has a little bit more effectiveness from a man-to-man perspective.
So just to follow up real quickly, and you can answer this in three words if you want, you would classify Hargraves as a much better interior slot corner prospect than Jackson, who it sounds like is a guy that would play strictly outside.
Definitely, for sure.
Talking with Kyle Krabs, and you can check out NDT Scouting. Obviously, we're talking about all of his reports and so forth as he's ranking a number of the top prospects entering this year's draft. When you look at some of the other positions, Kyle, that may be in the conversation at number 10, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's name has been thrown around a lot. And the Giants right now, if you look at their running back dynamic, I mean, they have a wealth of talent in the backfield. But, you know, Elliott could very well be the best player available. How much does the conversation change, you think, as perhaps Elliott moves down the board? And where do you think his likely landing spot will be?
Well, to be honest, I think he's the best offensive skill player in the draft. So in a rare circumstance like this, where you're looking at a limited amount of prospects within the top tier, and a running back just happens to be one of them, he's only the second running back in 3 years that I've given a first-round value to. The other one was Todd Gurley. You get to the back half of the top 10, you really feel like if he can step in and be effective, and if you like your offensive line's ability to generate push and create creases at the line of scrimmage, then that conversation has to take place. And it really will come down to what the team elects their philosophy is. Are we taking best player available at a position of need, or are we trying to fill a need?
Absolutely. Want to follow up on that skill position side. And, you know, Lance and I talked about how rare it is that a running back's going to go before a wide receiver, but that certainly seems to be the case this year, Kyle. And your wide receiver rankings are very different than some of the other ones I've seen. The guys over at Pro Football Focus, who I know both of us have a lot of respect for, they're big fans of Corey Coleman. You're not so much. I'm assuming his lack of a route tree scares you. You have Josh Doctson as your top wide receiver in this draft. Why is that?
Yeah, Coleman just scares me. And, you know, to be fair, I'll come out and say it before one of your followers on social media does. I was also the guy that wasn't a huge fan of Mike Evans 2 years ago.
Okay.
You know, I thought he was going to struggle with his transition into the league. And I see not the same type of struggles, but I see things that aren't going to translate as easily. So the question for Coleman is, are you really that elite of an athlete that you can step in right away and be very effective as a receiver? You know, when typically you see these receivers, even if they're high upside players, you know, you have to have a certain amount of polish and savvy to your route running skills, or else you're just going to be very limited with the ways you get the ball early on in your career. And that's kind of where I'm looking at Corey Coleman. Very raw from a route tree perspective. Runs a handful of routes, and he runs them well. But, you know, there's some concentration drop issues there as well. So just a whole bunch of things that kind of drive him down the board. Whereas Doctson, actually saw somebody make the comparison to Devontae Parker a little earlier today, and I actually like that quite a bit. Hmm. They were valued similarly as far as, you know, their overall evaluation in my process. Very strong ball skills, has a very, you know, natural feel for locating the football in the air, and his mobility and his body awareness and control is very strong. You know, some of the receptions you see him make, you know, he's changing his body to these extreme angles that you can't coach something like that. So I think from that perspective, a red zone perspective, a high point perspective, back shoulder throws, 50-50 balls, and then you throw in the fact that he has a good amount of polish. He's very efficient with his steps at the top of his routes. A very likable football player.
Real quick follow-up. Do you believe any wide receivers have enough upside in this draft to be worth the Giants' pick at 10?
I do not, no. I'm not sure there is a true alpha receiver in the entire class.
There you go.
Now, with that being said, Laquon Treadwell, by many, is considered to potentially be that top wide receiver. I see, Kyle, you have him as the third-ranked wide receiver. You know, what's your outlook on him? And, I mean, I don't know if you paid close attention to Ole Miss's pro day, but, you know, based on the 40-yard dash, it's not as if that necessarily helped his stock. So, perhaps, how does that change his outlook moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody expected Treadwell to run a mid-4.4 with his 40. When you watched him in long speed, you saw him a number of times on film get caught from behind by secondary players, so it's not necessarily super surprising. But I really like his, quote-unquote, my ball mentality when the ball is in the air. He attacks the ball, has good hands. He just doesn't quite have the movement skills to really be a Dez Bryant type of football player. You know, he's going to be a very strong possession receiver at the next level. I'm just not sure the upside is there from an athletic profile standpoint to say, yes, this is an alpha receiver. This is a guy that we got to take at 10.
Not a surprise that you have Miles Jack as your top linebacker. Maybe a little surprising, but not really. I've heard other people say this too, that you have Miles Jack as your top linebacker in the draft, because I think everyone knows what a fantastic player he is. The guy I'm interested in is the guy named Darren Lee from Ohio State. And we talked to Tony Pauline out at the Combine, and he, like you, loves Darren Lee. Tell Giant fans why you think he would be a good pick for the Giants at 10, if you do think that's the case.
Well, yeah, if you look at the Giants' linebacking roster, Devin Kennard is actually a player I like quite a bit. He was somebody that I was down at the Shrine Game 2 years ago at very, just certainly passed the eye test. And physical, it moves a lot better than you would expect somebody that size to move. But he's a Sam. He's a guy that you play on the strong side. He plays through traffic and takes on blockers. Darren Lee is pretty much the polar opposite of that, and he's like a mini Miles Jack. And I say that lightly because Darren Lee is a big human being in his own right. But Lee goes in the low 230s. And he's cut from the same cloth of Jack in that this is a player that's perfectly molded for what the NFL is today. This is somebody you can put at will on the back end of a 4-3. You can edge him out and put him in the slot and ask him to effectively play zone coverage. He's a three-down linebacker, not a Mike. He's not going to be a guy that plays between the tackles with a great deal of consistency. But if you're asking him to play on the back end, similar to what Minnesota does with Anthony Barr, and be a backside flow player and pursue the play from the backside and just take clean angles and then flex him out in space, and he's very effective disrupting routes inside of 5 yards, has some ability to take on tight ends and running backs from a pass coverage standpoint, and really just be a player that, you know, the team runs off of the fullback and brings on another wide receiver. You don't have to change personnel. You just flex him out there, you play zone, and if you want to bring pressure, you can bring pressure. So that ability to have personnel versatility is what I really like about Darren Lee.
Kyle, with respect to this particular linebacker, I get this question all the time, so now I'm going to have you try to weigh in because Giants fans are always itching to ask the question. Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame, a lot of question marks regarding his health. Yeah, he's number 4 on your board. How much of a risk is he entering this draft?
Yeah, it's almost impossible for us on the outside to have any clue where he's going to go just because that medical is going to be everything. That medical recheck, you know, you hear people say there's nerve damage, there's not nerve damage, back and forth. Teams were scared off at the combine, but he's up and walking and without a noticeable limp. So, you know, people on Jalen Smith's side, they're going to, you know, paint a picture, and people from the team perspective, if they're hoping that he's there at a certain spot, they're going to paint the totally opposite perspective. So a lot of noise there. It's really difficult to be able to, you know, sort through the trash. But if he comes back with a clean medical, you know, realistically, if you say, okay, he's going to have a redshirt year as rookie year, but he should be back and be 95 to 100% within, you know, 2017, then he's a player that should certainly be discussion towards the back half of the first round. I think some teams may not care and take him if they want to earlier, but you know, from my personal philosophy, if you're having a redshirt player, that's not a top 15 selection. That's somebody you're expecting to come in and impact your roster right away.
Well, but Kyle, it's interesting because you said that there's a possibility a team may take a chance on him later on in the first round. So even if there's still medical questions after this checkup, you don't foresee perhaps him dropping towards the middle rounds at all? Or the third or the fourth, you still think somebody be willing to take a first-round shot on him?
I have learned to never say never. I'll put it that way.
Interesting.
I personally would not, if it was me. No, that would be a player that, I know he's up as high as he is on the board because I don't have access to his medicals. But if I know this is a player that, you know, you're probably never going to get more than 80% of what he ever was, well, 80% of Jalen Smith is still pretty darn good. So that would be probably an early day two selection, not necessarily a back half of the first round pick.
If Jalen Smith didn't get hurt, would he be right up there next to Miles Jack as a top 1-2 player on your board?
He would probably be in the top 8. So this 8-tier first round value player pool would be a 9-tier first round player pool. I don't think Jack is to me just a different animal. He's physical. He plays in coverage in space like a nickel corner or a safety. He blows offensive linemen up at the point of attack. He is a total package type of deal. I wouldn't be surprised if he was slightly ahead of Darren Lee, so we're talking about probably a top 5 overall ranking instead of where he ended up on my board, more down into the 20s.
Kyle Krabs, NDT Scouting, ndtscouting.com. Kyle, this is going to be a little more challenging for you. Let's dip into the second round now. The Giants are picking around 40 in round number 2. Where do you see there being some value? What are some names that you think Giant fans should be keeping an eye on that could be on the board at 40 that you think talent meets need, meets fit, and you think it'd be a good marriage?
Well, I'm actually pleasantly surprised by the safety class this year. And I know the Giants recently invested an early selection in one safety. But looking at that strong safety spot, you know, it's a little underwhelming just looking over their roster. And there's a couple of really strong candidates that could feasibly be on the board still around 40. names like K.J. Dillon from West Virginia, Jeremy Cash from Duke. Cash is more of your prototypical box safety as a strong safety. If you're playing in a nickel defense, you can bump him down. He could be a linebacker for you. He can play on the second level. Certainly not a center fielder. K.J. Dillon from West Virginia has a little bit more versatility to play some more man-to-man coverage, be another kind of chess piece type of player that you can put in any number of roles. Was very active playing up in the box, playing out in space, playing man-to-man coverage as a senior this past year, playing some zone as well in the hook curl areas. So just kind of looking to marry the needs of the roster with where there's some value that stands out with good football players that should be around. Safety was what stood out to me when I was prepping for this call with you guys.
Well, Kyle, speaking of depth, when you look at this draft as a whole, you know, every year we try to determine, is this an offensive draft? Is this a defensive draft? It seems as if this is a defensive draft. What position do you think has the most depth as we get into the later rounds that you could still potentially walk away and target this position and get a quality player?
I think the just immediate position that came to mind was corner. I have 10 corners in the top 50, which is an astronomical number for me. And if you just play the math game, odds are that many corners aren't going to go in the top 50. So this plethora of talent at the top is going to have this domino effect for the corner position where, you know, somebody like the Giants who may, I know they just went out and spent big money on Janoris Jenkins, but maybe you're looking for a nickel guy, somebody who has some short area quickness, can play in the slot. This domino effect is really going to give them an opportunity, you know, at the back end of day two, early portion of day three, to really bring in a nice value that maybe in another year this player's gone around earlier.
Who could be a day two offensive tackle, preferably a right tackle, that you think could be available and on the board for the Giants in round two and round three if they still find themselves in need at that position?
That's a tough one. I know it seems like your tiers are Tensile, Ronnie Stanley, Jason Spriggs is probably in that discussion as far as that second tier depth. Getting down past that, I know some people like the Michigan State kid, Jack Conklin. I think he's a bit of a project. I love his upside. Has some really strong flashes of dominating play as a point of attack blocker. Which, you know, your stereotypical right tackle does that, but he's played left tackle his whole career. So maybe somebody like Taylor Decker from Ohio State, who has played on both sides of the line of scrimmage. He started his sophomore year at right tackle before spending his last 2 years at left tackle. He's somebody that, you know, there's a little bit of discussion about him potentially being a first-round player, but I don't see it personally. I think that's a strong day two value. So if somebody like that is there, so that's certainly a conversation that would be well worth having within their draft room.
All right, Kyle. Draft season officially started. April turns the corner. Before we say goodbye, we'll give you one more chance to plug your draft guide, which releases tonight at midnight. But first, give me your prediction, and I'm going to keep track of this. Who do you think the Giants pick in number 10, first-round NFL draft? Give me a name.
I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott.
All right. There we go. All right, Kyle, before we say goodbye, how do fans find your work? How do fans order your draft guide one more time?
Well, thank you very much for having me, guys. First and foremost, if anybody's interested, you can visit ndtscouting.com. There is a button right there on the homepage. You can pre-order all the way through up to tonight. If you purchase after tonight, you know, as the purchases are processed, I'll be sending them out all the way through the draft and beyond. It's $10 for 339 pages, 300 scouting reports. My reports consist of, you know, combining film study with some metrics type approach to just kind of paint a detailed picture, and they'll give you guys as much perspective on as many different aspects as players as possible. So please feel free to swing by the site, take a look around if you guys are interested. Any questions, you can reach me on Twitter at NDTScouting.
There we go. Kyle Krabs. Kyle, thanks for joining us. We will certainly be in touch as the drafts approach. Thanks so much for the time and the insight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Kyle Krabs. Excellent job by him on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Lance, he confirmed some of the stuff we thought. I think maybe he slid a couple other guys into the mix there. And he's the second guy now that I've read that is just in love with Darren Lee. And they think he is a like he said, Miles Jack Light, a guy that can run sideline to sideline, be that playmaking outside linebacker. I've been saying maybe a little too rich for my blood at 10, but you know what? Depending on who else is there, he might be in the mix for me.
Yeah, I think Lee's an extremely versatile player, so I mean, I wouldn't have a problem if the Giants think that he's a good fit for the scheme. I think you need a linebacker. I mean, in terms of the value of the draft and the need for this team, that, you know, in a pinch, you could throw him just about anywhere on the field.
You need a guy that can be on the field all three downs, and he's not going to create a mismatch for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that guy, based on the description and the evaluations, can come in year one, you know, he can show you that versatility. I mean, that's good value. You want a player that you can use at different angles and varieties of spots on the field, just like you want an offensive lineman who you can put just about anywhere. Yeah. And I think that the Giants pride themselves on bringing in players like that. So, you know, to me, if it's about the best player available on your board and you feel you're not going to get him if you move down, then you take the player at that point.
Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. And fans, want to remind you as well, if you go to Giants.com, Bob Papa had some exclusive one-on-ones with the new Giant assistant coaches. Go to Giants.com. Check it out. Some good instructional stuff there from where these Giant coaches came from, how they're motivated, who their mentors are, and just kind of a look behind the scenes at what type of guys these coaches are. And a further reminder, tomorrow the assistant coaches will be talking to the media here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center at 9 and 10 o'clock. We'll have videos of their availabilities with the media. I'm sure that'll be probably more heavy football-related stuff than what you got from Bobby. And, of course, we'll have the returning Giant assistants talking to the media tomorrow as well. So Kevin Gilbride, Linda Wells, guys like that that came back from last year. So check that out on Giants.com and check out tomorrow morning. We will have all the assistants talking about their position groups and what you might expect in 2016. All right, you guys have held patiently. We appreciate it. Draft talk the rest of the way. Ed in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He leads us off on Big Blue Kickoff Live on the phones. Ed, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing great, Ed. What's on your mind?
You think the Giants, I know Kyle just said they're going to take Ezekiel Elliott. You really think they're going to go offense after they went the last 4 or 5 years offense?
I don't think they're going to imprison themselves into an idea of what they're going to do before the draft gets here. I think if they get to 10 and they believe an offensive player is significantly better than one of the than the best defensive player left on the board, I think they'll pick an offensive player.
And the Giants, they go best player available, or they go what they need?
It's both. I mean, Lance, I don't think there's any doubt over the years. We've seen them pick guys that they certainly think are in that tier of the best players on the board, but like they say, need does come into the equation here. You don't like it to, but it has to.
You have to. Of course you have to put that into the equation. I think it's a combination of both. I mean, we always hear best player available, best player available. And the reason why you can't overlook best player available, you may have the draft, okay, you get to number 10, and all of a sudden, you know, guys are dropping left and right, and you're not necessarily anticipating that these guys were even going to be on the board at number 10. It may not be a need, John. It may not be a need, Ed, but you at least need to entertain the idea. I mean, this guy's very high on our list. We had no clue he was going
to
be here at 10.
Well, Ed, I want to go back in time for you for a second. Go back to 2010 when the Giants drafted Jason Pierre-Paul.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Were you going into that draft saying, boy, the Giants really need a defensive end bad? I don't think so.
Right. He was the best player available.
And that's what it changes. The conversation changes every time another team picks. So I think you got to at least keep that in mind.
And you think they could get a wide receiver who could step in right away and be the number two in this big two?
Ready right away. I mean, I think you can put him in there and see how he does. But do I think there's an NFL-ready wide receiver that's going to step in and be a good number two the first 8 weeks
of his
rookie year?
Anyone's good across the field from Beckham, right?
Well, look, having Beckham there certainly helps, but you still need that rookie wide receiver to develop chemistry with the quarterback, to run the route tree, to be specific in his route running, and that's going to take time. You know, wide receivers that come in and are huge contributors right away, in my opinion, are rare. It doesn't happen that often. It's happened more recently, I think, than it has in the past. But I don't think you can count on a round two or three wide receiver to be a top-end number two type of receiver right away. Can they develop into that guy? Sure. But Lance, to ask him to do it right away, I think might be asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how aggressive the wide receiver is that you bring in. I mean, if he's got the desire, he's got the want, I mean, you can be pleasantly surprised. I always bring up Stephon Diggs last year, was a very late round pick for the Vikings. And, you know, nobody anticipated. Yeah, nobody anticipated that he'd be an immediate contributor. He did. So, I mean, there's really no exact rule of thumb. I don't know, though, if you can automatically say, we draft a wide receiver in this year's draft, he's going to come in, we put him opposite Beckham, 1, 2, 3, everything's going to be great. I mean, I still think if you're the Giants, you need a grouping of wide receivers to compete, to go out there and let the best guy all of a sudden emerge. There's no reason why there's not an opportunity to draft a young guy, Ed, in this draft. I could certainly see that be a position they should target, because based on need, I think that somebody could come in, a young guy, and make a name for himself. But I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to say they draft a wide receiver this year, he's guaranteed to get the number two spot and he's going to flourish like that.
And Ed, I think you got to remember too that so many of these receivers come from non-pro style offenses now in college that it is a big transition. Now, some guys make that transition easier than others. Is it possible? Yes. Could the Giants roll the dice and see if that works? Certainly. Am I going to tell you it's a guarantee they can find a guy that can do that? I'm not willing to go that far.
All right. What's the Giants' number one need right now?
In terms of the roster, I would say...
It's a good question. I think right tackle, right? That's probably right up there.
And I'd put slot corner up there.
I think wide receiver's up there, too.
Wide receiver's up there, but here's the one thing I will say about wide receiver. This is, to me, this is an ideal world. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Yeah. In an ideal world, meaning everybody's healthy, everything works out. Beckham and Cruz, and I still think Dwayne Harris has an opportunity to be that third wide receiver. I've had conversations with DeTino.
Explosive like he used to be?
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be like that, but when I say ideal world, he's going to be healthy, and he'll be reliable for the majority of the season. That's what I mean, ideal world. That's the ideal circumstance. Then, as insurance, obviously, you need as much depth as possible. But the ideal world, week one, everybody's healthy. I think you could throw out Beckham, Cruz, and Harris and be content that we got three wide receivers out there that could go out and make plays for the quarterback.
How much is Shane Vereen also.
Shane Vereen, too. Correct.
Thanks for the call, Ed. We appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Ed.
How much does rent cost in your ideal world? I wouldn't mind living there.
Well, like I said,
seems like a real nice place.
Ideal world. I
seems like a great place to live.
Preface the statement by saying ideal. Of course. Well, listen, ideal with anything should be a nice place to live. That's the ideal world. Right. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but
I hear you though.
If everybody's healthy, I think that threesome, I'd be content if I'm Eli Manning going out there and those are my three targets. With obviously the tight ends and the running backs is, you know, last caller noted. That's the ideal world. I'm not saying that's going to happen to ensure yourself. That's why you need that fourth or fifth option. Jeremy Davis is going to have an important camp. You know, he could at least go out there and do something this offseason. He's one of the guys in the mix. You draft a wide receiver. That's number two. You know, the kid that they just brought in from France, we'll see. I'm not guaranteeing you that he's going to make the roster, but he's also in the conversation for competition purposes. And you're going to need to bring in those type of players so that you see who's number four, who's number five, and who's number six if you choose to keep six wide receivers.
And the Miles kid is still on the team too, right?
Correct. Miles White.
Yep.
Yeah. Ben Edwards is another one who was young last year. So they have a few of these young options. You know, once again, you're not saying that you want them to be your third option, but there's no reason why they can't compete to be that fifth or sixth option on the roster.
How about place kicker, by the way?
I know, Josh Brown.
I don't want to make light of it, but place kicker is a legitimate need right now. You know, there is a place kicker on the roster. He's never kicked the ball in an NFL game. I'm not saying, obviously, you're not using a day one or two pick on a place kicker. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, in terms of need, though, you better figure out place kicker. Kind of important.
Well, it is a need right now as the roster stands. And I go back to when Ben McAdoo spoke at the owners' meetings.
Yeah.
They had asked him, the reporters who were on scene, about what the story is with Josh Brown. And he said that, you know, clearly Josh Brown's still an option, but, you know, they're obviously experimenting and looking at the options out there in addition to that. But the last time I checked, Josh Brown didn't sign anywhere. So that's
also
obviously
correct.
Good news for the Giants.
Back-to-back callers from Rochester. Andre's been holding the longest. We'll go to him first. Andre, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Dre?
How are you
doing, Andre? Doing all right. And speaking of your ideal world, going back to the Carolina game, as Cam Newton ran for that first down and blew all our chances of winning, if that was Miles Jack coming up the line, you'd think all the problems would have been solved in that game.
It would have helped an awful lot having a linebacker like that trying to make that tackle, no doubt about it.
And back to our ideal world. Do you see the Giants moving up to try to get their hands on him?
I'm going to quote. I'm trying to remember who. I think it was David in North Carolina. That was our last call yesterday. And he said, John, when you take a look at this roster, do you really think they can afford to trade away day two picks in order to move up a couple of spots? And I think the answer is no. I think you need to get as many good players as possible to fill out this roster. I would not be willing to trade this year's number two pick, plus probably next year's number two pick, and then maybe something else in order to move up the amount of spots you're going to have to move up to get Miles Jack.
All right. Was I correct when I heard one of your analysts say that Akpa was had a 4-4 in his 40?
Who had a 4-4?
A defensive end, last name Akpa or something like that.
I don't know about.
You guys have a guest on yesterday that said that?
I don't know about an Akbar, but there was somebody that was 200. There was a joke that at the Ole Miss, maybe this is what you're thinking of, at the Ole Miss Pro Day, a 270 pounder ran a faster 40 time than Treadwell. Is that maybe what you're talking about?
Yeah. That's what, maybe.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And one more question. Do you guys consider Robert Konechi a tweener?
Robert Kimdichie? No, I think he's a defensive tackle. I mean, he's a guy that can play inside. He can maybe even rush outside if you need him in certain situations and set the edge. But I think Robert Kimdichie is a defensive tackle in the NFL. I mean, he's 295 pounds. I don't think of him as a tweener at all.
And in terms of need, I'll throw
Thank
out there,
you, Andre.
And Andre, I appreciate the phone call. I mean, I think if the Giants are going to go after a defensive lineman, a rotational defensive end, to me, has higher value than a rotational defensive tackle, in my opinion.
Well, if that rotational defensive end can also maybe rush inside on third down, I'll...
Like a Robert Ayers
Correct.
Type of player.
Correct.
That would be the profile.
Or Justin Tuck.
Yeah, Justin Tuck, too. Mm-hmm. That would be the profile.
Maybe Ole can do that, though, too. Remember, Ole's a big dude. And he did, you know, stop the run real well in college. So you think maybe he might be able to rush inside. Maybe he could be that rotational guy.
Well, and that's something they want to bring out of him.
Right.
At least that was the discussion when they drafted him.
201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Dwayne in Rochester's up next. Dwayne, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Dwayne?
How's it going?
Doing well.
All right, good, good. Hey, guys, listen, can we stop all this talk about Miles Jack? All right, look, I'm in love with him too, but the cost of trading up is just not good with all the needs that we have.
Thank you. All right. Please, lead, Dwayne, lead the cavalry, go on Giants chat, put the flag in your hands, and lead the charge for me. Because, look, is there a 2% chance that maybe Miles Jack gets to the Giants? Is there a, you know, snowball's chance in hell? Maybe there is. Maybe there is. But I'm not going to waste the next month praying for somebody that's not going to be there. And I can't deal with it. Let's talk realistic options and hope for the best.
You're going to get a quality player at number 10. So, I mean, the need to move up and down, to me, is pointless.
Exactly. If anything, I would say move back down if some of the elite players aren't there and try to collect more picks, maybe two or three spots, and maybe you can do something with that. But as we stand pat, I really like Hargrave. I really like the corner. I think it fits the need. DRC is not getting any younger. The guys who come in, but he can play the slot. And maybe he can play a little free safety. He's very skilled, that man-to-man, which is what Fad Nola likes to do. And not only that, I got a full-round mock with realistic options. You have Hargrave at 10. You have the kid out of Notre Dame, Tiller, in the second round, which you put him across from OBJ. And I dare someone to put a safety down in the box with that kind of speed on the outside. That'll help your run game automatically.
Sure.
Just the speed alone.
I think both those are very realistic. Who do you got in the third round?
Third round, I got the tackle out of LSU, Jadal Alexander. He's a guy that some people have a second round grade on him, but he might foot down. He's a very big, powerful guy. If you put on the tape of him playing against Alabama, you'll fall in love with him. I mean, he's a big, powerful right tackle, can get the job done.
Okay.
And then for the guys that love running back, in the fourth round, I think the running back out of Notre Dame, Curtis Price, is there. He's a pullman, Ezekiel Elliott. All right, he runs the 4, a 4.45. who catches the ball out of Baton Field. He's a converted cornerback.
What do you say,
Drake? I mean, so he has the speed there. He can catch the ball out of backfield. He's great on run blocking. He can take it to the house, and he'll be around realistically in the fourth round.
Hey, Dwayne, you said Procise in the fourth round. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to be there in the fourth. He seems to be the third or fourth highest rated running back in most of these drafts. I think if you want him, you're going to have to pick him in round number three, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Not bad. You know what, though? If you want a player like that who might be there in round four, and this is the direction I thought you were going, take a look at Kenyon Drake from Alabama. He's a guy that does a lot of those same type of things. He's quick. He's fast. He can catch the ball. He's a guy that fits that profile if you want a guy like that. I'm not sure you do need a guy like that because you have Shane Vereen that plays that role already. But Drake's a guy that you could get later on that I think has a lot of those same skills.
Okay. I was just thinking about a home-run threat at running back later on in the draft. Nothing early.
All right. Sounds good. We appreciate the call, Dwayne.
All right. Thanks.
Good stuff, man.
He threw out Hargraves. My only concern is I think Tampa Bay has him very high on the list, and Tampa Bay is right in front of the Giants.
That seems to be the common thread among mock drafts. I'm not sure if they've have a leaky faucet down there in Tampa Bay or what, but that seems to be the general mock that's out there, that Hargraves is going to them at nine. But then again, we've been fooled by that before.
Correct. Well, there's two things that I'm taking into consideration. I'm not necessarily listening to too much of the chatter.
Right.
Number one, a lot of the Bucs people were at his pro day, which is no surprise. Yeah. He's within the state. No, but those coaches were actually even conducting some of the skill sets.
Makes sense,
and so
though.
Forth.
They're local.
So the drills, they're local. So I think that there's connections to that. And, I mean, if you look at the roster, John, the Bucs need a corner. They really need somebody opposite Alteron Verner. You know, they've been very aggressive in free agency the last few seasons. It has backfired. It's come back and haunted
them.
Also, so
they need pass rush, too.
They do need a pass rush, but they've addressed that somewhat in free agency a little with that as opposed to corner. They got Robert Ayers.
Who else did they bring in?
They re-signed a few of the guys that they had in the mix as well. I'd have to look up the list. The names are escaping me, but they did re-sign
somebody. Did they sign
somebody.
Claiborne from the Falcons?
No, Claiborne was with the Falcons last year. He re-signed with Atlanta.
He
was on Atlanta already. They have a nucleus because you know why? The Bucs had some restricted free agents, like Jaquez Smith. For example, he was a restricted free agent. He emerged last year. So they got that nucleus back. They brought in Robert Ayers. It's the corner position that I don't see nearly as much depth as perhaps the defensive line. So that's why I think Hargraves to the Bucs at least makes sense from an X's and O's standpoint.
The question, though, is then do you think if Hargraves is off the board, is there another corner that you like good enough for the Giants to pick at 10? Do you like the William Jackson kid out of Houston? Do you like Eli Apple, size, speed, Ohio State, more of a boundary corner? Is there somebody else that you think might be worth it if Hargraves is gone?
Well, Kyle just mentioned that to him is the deepest position, that he thinks that there's a lot of depth. To me, though, there's still a little bit of a drop-off between Hargraves and the rest of the pack. So, I mean, I would say if you don't get Hargraves, I would hold off till maybe the second or the third round to get my corner as opposed to reach for somebody with my first-round pick, especially if you have somebody higher ranked on the board at another position.
Usually we only give him a few minutes. Oh, we got two guys on the line. All right, so...
Spoke too soon there.
Charlie does not have the full 6 minutes to end
the
show.
Well, that's always a positive.
He'll have about half of that. Charlie, please, please don't make this call about the Giants trading up in the draft. Anything but that.
Hey, John and Lance. Hey, Lance.
Hi, Charlie.
Boy, he transitioned out of that one real
quick.
He didn't even bother addressing that.
Yeah, that's because he's going to ask you about trading up, not me.
I see. Okay, lovely.
Hey, Lance, in your ideal world, do I exist?
No, you don't exist. Well said. You absolutely do not exist. Keep throwing out some hypotheticals about ideal worlds because I don't see you on the radar, let alone existing.
Hey, Charlie, by the way, in Lance's ideal world, I'm not here either.
That's well said as well. Yeah, a lot of you are not here in my ideal world. How about that?
That's right. I just think Lance is there. He's
that's right.
One.
I think so, yeah.
Me, myself, and I. That's it. That's my ideal world. There you go. You know me too well.
Oh, man.
Hey, what was this guy? What's his name? Kyle
Krabs.
Kyle Krabs.
Yes. And don't make a joke.
He just made my point. He said there's only 8 elite guys in the first tier. And we are at number 10. So what does that tell you? That says to me, you move up to get one of the elite 8.
Or you can make the case to move down, too.
Charlie, or do you make the case that it makes sense to then move down if you're going to get a similar player at, say, 15, then you get a 10, and you pick them an extra second-round pick?
That's a possibility, too.
I would be much more in favor of that than moving up.
Now, with that being said, Charlie, we'll let you continue. Speaking of trading down, I just wanted to bring up, I need to confirm this, John, but I believe since Jerry Reese has been the general manager, I don't think he has ever moved down. Is that correct?
I don't remember him doing that.
He's moved up.
Maybe in the later rounds he might have did a mini trade down, but I don't really
can't remember.
That.
I cannot remember a circumstance in which Jerry Reese has made a move where he's moved down. So I only bring that up, Charlie, while it may be making sense from your argument standpoint, I think you also need to take track record and history into consideration.
Yeah, well, I know that. But hopefully we have a different Jerry Reese, but I don't know if we do or not. We're going to find out. But to me – and the thing is, I don't understand why Carl said that we would take Elliott. I think that would be the last guy we will take is Elliott. Because if we don't need a running back, I mean, we need one, but Jerry Reese is not going to get one because they think they're fine with the four they got.
Well, Charlie, I think the reason he gave the Giants Elliott is that he has Elliott as one of his guys in that top eight. So if that guy drops to 10, and he's talking from his perspective here, and one of his top eight guys is left, he wants to grab him because he thinks he's the most talented guy there.
Yeah, well, if he's there, we'll be moving down because we're not going to take him. Because if we did take him, then Jennings would be cut after June 1st. He would be a cut, and it'd save money off his contract. But I just don't see
that. Charlie, why are you trying to save money? They got more than enough money. Stop trying to add cap space. They got enough money.
He's never happy with enough.
I know they got enough money, but Jerry's not spending it. The reason I say that is because you can't have a five-back rotation.
All right, that's fair. That's fine. Somebody.
So
that's
you're talking
fine.
About the numbers game. That I understand. Yeah.
So I just think Jennings would be expendable. Think he's gone. But
finish up, Charlie.
I still think we should. Yeah, I'll finish. I just still think we should move up. I still like Jack, and that's who I'd get. Or move down if the Rams wanted to move up to 10, go down to 15, get an extra second round pick, and then go. And Rams have got two second round picks, 41, I think. No, 43 and 45.
Yeah.
Or 41 and 45.
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'd get one of those, and we might be able to get Jalen Smith at the top of that second round. That's what I would do.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right,
okay,
Charlie.
Guys.
Appreciate the call.
And I want to get this guy on board with Darren Lee because I know he loves linebackers, and Jack's probably not going to be there. Shakes, I want you on the Darren Lee bandwagon for this draft. It seems like he's your type of guy.
2 years and you know me well, John.
I do. At least I think I do.
But you remember when I first called in and I was raving about Alec Ogletree?
No. The first thing you called about was raving about Vinnie Curry, the other one.
No.
Aaron Curry.
You're talking about Aaron Curry.
Yes.
But no, that was after we didn't get Ogletree. Remember that?
I kept
calling in, and I remember that draft night. I had called in, it was P-Dot doing the show, and I said, what are we, allergic to linebackers or something? What is going on? But the reason why I was so enamored with Alec Ogletree is because I felt like he was the next wave and the next generation of linebackers.
Right.
Same thing with Darren Lee. Same thing.
Oh, wow, so I'm right?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I predicted it correctly. I'm not sure if I should be happy or be frightened that I can read your mind.
I'd say a combination of both. That's what I would say.
No doubt. What I wanted to say was I think the best option, though, is to trade back and get that second that extra second round choice that Charlie was just going through. But the Rams have the 43rd pick and a 45th. So if we trade back to the 15th pick, we have an option of getting a true right tackle in either Decker or Coughlin.
Yeah.
Or if you want to go Reggie Ragg, you know, something like that. It's somebody that you can actually have at that 15 that can really help. And so then you have an extra second round, and you could do a Jalen Smith, and then you can do whatever else in that second round that can help this team. The more picks we get is the better because we have so many holes on this team.
Yeah, see, Shakes, I'm with you.
The best option is to move back.
Shakes, I'm with you, and that's why I can't justify moving up. I think you just need too many players. I can't justify trading picks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think the main motivation, Shakes, should be let's trade down so we can acquire extra picks just to bring in extra bodies. I mean, you want substance with those picks. It's not so much let's just – because you could bring in a guy off the street if you're so concerned about bodies. You don't necessarily have to worry about getting a draft pick to do that.
Well, you got
to
make sure the guy you get at 15 is as good as the 10.
And I'm sorry to cut anybody off, but here's the thing. And your dude just said that, you know, it's 8 elite guys. Well, he said it's 8 elite guys. Now, if one of these elites is not there, and then now you're on to the second wave, so why not pick an extra pickup?
Right.
You know?
No, I hear you.
That's what I'm saying. And with the Rams, if they want that quarterback and two go in the top 10, you know, they're gonna wanna press and get that third quarterback that either Paxton Lynch that's still available or the other guy might be available.
I don't know about that, Jakes, because here's the thing though, you need to take into consideration the teams that are picking after the Giants, whether or not they need a quarterback.
Bingo.
So if you're the Rams, you're at 15, Jakes. The Giants are at 10. Mm-hmm. So if the Rams don't move up to 10, the Bears are 11. Right now, I just don't see the Bears taking a quarterback, regardless of how you feel about Jay Cutler. The Saints just gave Drew Brees a new contract. I don't see anything like that happening. The Dolphins with Ryan Tannehill, the whole point of bringing in Adam Gase is to help work out the kinks with Tannehill. The Raiders are set with Carr. The Rams can hold till 15 and still get a quarterback. I just don't see the value in moving up.
Now, Chase, I think your best argument is that if only one of the two top quarterbacks goes in the top 10.
And there's a difference between the second and the third to them?
I think maybe they love one of the top two guys that much, or they're afraid somebody else is going to trade ahead of them to pick one of those top two guys. I think that's probably your best argument, but otherwise, I'm with Lance. If those two top two guys are gone, I think the Rams are going to stay put at 15 and let it come to them.
Yeah.
That's a good assumption. I like that. But if that's the case, man, we can make a move with them and pick up some extra picks. I think it'll be good. But I think if three go, we definitely getting one of those 8 elites.
Well, that would be the ideal. Speaking of ideal situations, if I could use it again, in another ideal world of mine would be three quarterbacks go before the Giants select. Absolutely.
I don't have a chance to talk to you very often because I know you don't call it as much anymore. But I would like to get your opinion. If these players are on the board for the Giants at 10, who are you picking? All right? Here are your options. I'm taking all my top-tier guys that I've mentioned a million times off the board. So Tunsil's gone. Ramsey's gone. Bosa's gone. Buckner's gone. Miles Jack is gone. All those guys are off the board with two quarterbacks. I'm going to open up the page. I want you to rank these in your preference order, 1 through 5 for me, okay? Hargraves, Stanley, Elliott, Lee, and who else can I throw in that mix?
Lawson?
Shaq Lawson. There we go.
Lawson will be the fifth.
Okay.
Rank them 1 through 5 for me.
All right, number 1, Stanley. Number 2, Hargraves. Number 3, Elliott. No, number 3, Lee. Excuse me. Number 4, Elliott. Number 5, Lawson. I'm not too sold on Lawson.
I think that's fair. I like it. Shakes, you got anything else for us?
Just one more thing. Just one thing. You know, you say I don't call that much anymore. I mean, I kind of got this little thing with P. Dot, man. I don't like how he did my man Steve, so I don't really call him when P. Dot is on. But you know, when you and Lance is on, I try to call in. So just try to get P. Dot to calm down a little bit, man. He can't be doing stuff like that.
Shakes.
But thanks for taking my call.
Do you really hold on a second? Do you really think I could make Paul DeTino calm down? Come on, are you kidding me?
Huh?
Have you met Paul DeTino?
Shakes, you love my theme of ideal world situations today because that's another one that's going to only happen in an ideal world.
Thanks, pal.
I would add that to the ideal world.
Thanks, Shakes.
Calming down Paul DeTino. Those two things don't work together in the same sentence.
No.
Calm and Paul DeTino?
No, it doesn't.
Hell freezes over, pigs fly. That's more likely.
He is many things, many things. Calm.
No.
Is not one of them.
Calm is not going to happen. Absolutely. We actually have a few questions on Twitter here.
All right.
A number of questions.
Real quick.
If you
bonus minute or two.
Rattle
sorry,
through
that
them
okay?
here.
Perfect.
Before we wrap up shop.
What do you got?
AJ at AJ Marshall 3. Do you think the Giants will draft a linebacker in the early round or late round? I think they're going to draft a linebacker at some point. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's going to happen in that first round, But I think they'll draft a linebacker.
It's hard for me to argue they're going to pick one in the first round based on the last 30 years of history.
Do you want me to throw out my
Carl
favorite
Banks, 1984. I know.
It's my goal in society to make sure people remember that.
In your ideal world, that would be on the Lance's Declaration of Independence.
Exactly. Correct. We're going to add an article to the Constitution until that trend changes.
So basically, Amendment 1 is that you do not want musical chairs on the offensive line. Amendment 2 is that the Giants haven't picked a linebacker since 1984.
You know me too well.
Oh, my God.
All right. E the Chosen One, at E underscore the Chosen One. Do you guys feel that the number 6, 7, 8 picks will have huge implications for us? Well, there is no 8th pick for the Giants at this point, unless you're adding to the tally, and there
is
no 7th pick.
My guess is that the 6th, 7th, and 8th overall picks in the draft, based on who the Giants pick at 10.
Did that's I look at it from that
I
perspective?
I think that's where he's going.
And I think you're right. I think that's probably what he meant, as opposed to the 6th, 7th, or 8th round, or just the number of picks that the Giants are going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly going to impact where
Hell
the Giants go, especially if a quarterback goes under those circumstances.
Do you still think 2 quarterbacks go in the top 10?
Right now, I'm leaning towards 1 quarterback.
So you don't think Chip Kelly pulls the trigger? You think the Browns and that's it?
Yeah, because I'm still not sold that Kaepernick's going to be moved.
And if they have Kaepernick, will they use that top pick on a quarterback?
I don't know. The Niners have so many other needs right now.
But here's the thing. Did Chip Kelly learn his lesson from Philly, where he tried to do it with kind of making do with the quarterback position? Or does he want to try to make do with the quarterback position again?
I mean, I don't think he tried to make do. He actually wound up shipping Nick Foles out of town and acquired Bradford.
Yeah, but he
– So, I mean, he actually came in and made his changes.
That's what I'm saying, but he never got the guy that I think really, like, he loved and matched his system.
Well, but who's to say that one of these guys he loves?
You know what? That's a fair point.
For his system.
That's a fair point. Maybe he doesn't.
We don't have an Oregon quarterback coming out the last time I checked.
That is a great point. Great point.
Jeremy at Voss4 underscore Jeremy. I'd like to see an offensive lineman, corner, and wide receiver get signed before the draft. Any rumors getting leaked into possible players? Well, I mean, you hear the same speculation that we hear throughout the media. Ben McAdoo did, when he spoke to the media, he said they're not finished with free agency. That was his exact quote. And he did not rule out that potentially players at not necessarily those positions that you listed, Jeremy, but I still think there's potential for another free agent to come in before the draft. I don't think that's a stretch at all. So, I mean, whether or not that impacts the draft, I wouldn't go there, but I still think there's a possibility that another free agent comes in before we get to the draft.
James at NYG underscore NJD underscore NJN underscore NYM.
Can we add another underscore?
Well, he's listing all the teams that he roots for, obviously. do you like Floyd over Ragland? Kiper, McShane, ESPN scouting, all of Ragland over Floyd. I think Floyd's a better fit for a 3-4 outside linebacker, rushing the passer. I think if you're a 4-3 team, I do like Reggie Ragland more.
I do like Floyd, though. I think Floyd's got a lot of upside.
He does, but he's only 245 pounds. Can't play defensive end of 245.
It'd be tough. Yeah. With that type of profile, but who's to say that they're going to bring him in to play defensive end, though? I mean, that's the key here. You know, it all depends on where you want to put the player. If you have an ability to put the player at linebacker, then I'm not too concerned about how he's going to pan out as a defensive lineman in the NFL.
Well, right. That's if you're thinking it'll work as a 4-3 outside
lineman.
Yeah, line.
I mean, to me, he would play the same position
as Devon Kennard, though.
So there would be a conflict, but here's the thing. Can you ever have enough linebackers, I mean, given the injury rate and so forth, and Kennard's injury rate?
No, that's true, but you don't want to use your 10th overall pick in the draft on a guy that...
Well, and that, I think, is a very good point.
To replace Devon Kennard.
You don't want a backup slash upside guy. You want to have sort of a sure thing, or as close to a sure thing at number 10.
Exactly.
Not an experiment.
All right. Great job, guys. Lance, it was fun as always.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow it is Marks and Feagles. They're trying to get somebody on it. Anita's working on something. I'm not sure if she's figured anything out yet. But hopefully we'll have a guest tomorrow for you guys. And then we'll be back next week on Giants.com as our draft preparation continues for April 28th and round 1 of the NFL draft in Chicago, Illinois. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelt. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, go to Giants.com. All the Giants assistant coaches, exclusive one-on-ones with Bob Papa. Check them out. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through.